Good morning, seventh day of the session. Members, house will come to order, and the chief clerk will call the roll.
Convening roll call for the seventh day, Wednesday, January 18th, 2017. Allen. Excused. Baker. Barlow.
Here.
Beitman.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bovee.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart. Bird.
Here.
Clausen, excused. Clem. Excused. Connolly.
Here.
Court.
Here.
Crank.
Here.
Dayton.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund. Excused. Air.
Here.
Flitner.
Excused.
Excused. Freeman. Furphy.
Here.
Guru.
Excused.
Excused. Gray.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Haley.
Here.
Hallinan.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Henderson.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Kinner.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Larson Lloyd.
Excuse.
Excused. Larson Dan. Larson Dan?
Here.
Lindholm?
Here.
Lone?
Here.
Lauks? Lauks? Excused. McGuire?
Here.
Madden?
Here.
McKim?
Here.
Miller?
Here.
Nicholas?
Excused.
Northrup?
Here.
Obermüller?
Here.
Olson? Paxton.
Here.
Pelkey. Excused. Piperinen.
Here.
Pawnell.
Here.
Salazar.
Here.
Schwartz.
Here.
Excused. Summers.
Here.
Steinmetz.
Here.
Sweeney.
Here.
Walters.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Let's see, some have come in. Do you want me to recall?
Sure.
Allen?
Here.
Clem?
Here.
Eklund? Flitner?
Here.
Guru?
Here.
Larson Lloyd?
Here.
Lauks? Nicholas? Schwartz?
Here.
55 present, 5 excused.
Okay, members, will you please stand? We'll join, be led in our prayer this morning by Lieutenant Clinton Trimmer from the Salvation Army.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would just grant your mercy this day, that you would grant wisdom and discernment, Lord, that you would just direct the conversations. May they be conversations of peace, and may they be conversations that lead to better lives for all who live in our state. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, members. We, as we all find our places, we enjoy a little collegiality this morning and greeting one another. I'd remind you there's large containers of hand sanitizer all throughout the room. We want to keep ourselves healthy. We've already got a few members under the weather. And when you work in these tight, compressed areas with a lot of us, much like a first grade classroom, and we want to make sure we're taking care of our health. Secondly, members, I would you look around the room. If you pause a minute and look around, you'll notice that several are in a unofficial uniform. I think that tradition dates way back, probably decades, and it is Wednesday Hump Day, and so we have our camel hair coats. I've only known one member who had a coat colored, camel haired coat other than tan, and that was the good senator who used to be a representative from Campbell County who chaired education for years in the House, and he always wore a purple haired camel coat. And just some things you shock you so much you can never forget. So with that little levity, we are on journal committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of January 17, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, the journal committee, Representative Garu, Representative Gray.
There are no messages from the Senate, and I would like to introduce our nurse of the day, Miss Beth Marston from Cheyenne. Is Beth here? Is Marston here? She might be down taking care of our elderly friends down the hall. I mean that with all due respect. And so, and then also our doctor today is Dr. Ron Malm. Is Dr. Malm here? Okay, well, let's give him a round of applause. They'll be here. Thank you. The next order of business is introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 160.
House Bill 160, introduced by Representative Connolly, handgun purchases.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to firearms.
House Bill 160 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 155.
House Bill 155, introduced by Representative Clem, Alcohol Administration Revisions.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to alcohol.
House Bill 155 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 159.
House Bill 159, introduced by Representative Zwanitzer, Homeless Minors.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to children.
House Bill 159 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 152.
House Bill 152, introduced by Representative Lindholm, Search and Rescue Operations.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to search and rescue operations.
House Bill 152 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 158.
House Bill 158, introduced by Representative Henderson, Elections, Voters, Residents, Address.
House Bill 158 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations.
An act.
Let me back up. First reading of the bill.
An act relating to elections.
House Bill 158 is now referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 163.
House Bill 163, introduced by Representative Northrup, Elections, Recount Deposits.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to elections.
House Bill 163 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 148.
House Bill 148, introduced by Representative Walters, Tobacco Prevention, Cessation, and Treatment Programs.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public health and safety.
House Bill 148 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 156.
House Bill 156, introduced by Representative Barlow. Involuntary commitment, emergency detention amendments.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to involuntary commitment.
House Bill 156 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. We're at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
House Bill 8, introduced by Education, Student Data Privacy, Security, and Transparency, an act relating to education. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 8, Student Data Privacy, Security, and Transparency, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. House Bill 13, introduced by Representative Madden, Investment of Public Funds, an act relating to investment of public funds. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 13, Investment of Public Funds, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. House Bill 30, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, State Parks and Sites Fees, an act relating to state parks, historic sites, archaeological sites, and recreation areas. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 30, State Parks and Sites Fees, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Wilson. Noes, Representative Walters. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. House Bill 33, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, Non-Resident Motorboats, Gasoline Tax Distribution, an act relating to gasoline taxes. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 33, Non-Resident Motorboats, Gasoline Tax Distribution, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do not pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Nicholas, Walters, and Wilson. Noes, Representative Larson, Schwartz, Summers. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Are we at the point for re-referrals?
We are.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to refer the following 4 bills, House Bill 98, House Bill 123, House Bill 124, and House Bill 125, from your committee number 7, Corporations, to your committee number 9, Minerals.
Without objection, House Bill 98, 123, 124, and 125 are re-referred to committee number 9, Minerals. We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 21. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 21, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Secretary of State Certificates of Authentication, an act relating to certificates of authentication.
House Bill 21, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 22.
House Bill 22, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Business Entities, Communications, Contact, an Act Relating to Business Entities.
House Bill 22, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 26.
House Bill 26, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, Bark Beetle Program Funding, an Act Relating to State Lands.
House Bill 26, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 27.
House Bill 27, introduced by School Facilities, School Facility Property Insurance, an Act Relating to School Facilities.
House Bill 27, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 35.
House Bill 35, introduced by Management Council, Sponsorship of Legislation, an Act Relating to the Legislature.
House Bill 35, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 39.
House Bill 39, introduced by Education, Resident Tuition Reimbursement, an Act Relating to Resident Tuition Reimbursement for K through 12 Public Schools.
House Bill 39, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 63.
House Bill 63, introduced by Representative Barlow, Game Animal Licenses, Limitations, an Act Relating to Game and Fish.
House Bill 63, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 103.
House Bill 103, introduced by Representative Schwartz, Housing Authority, an Act Relating to Municipalities and Counties.
House Bill 103, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 2.
House Joint Resolution 2, introduced by Representative Lindholm, Balanced Budget Amendment Resolution, a joint resolution petitioning Congress to call a convention to propose amendments to the Constitution of the United States to require a balanced federal budget.
House Joint Resolution 2, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 3.
House Joint Resolution 3, introduced by Representative Larson, Single Subject Amendment Resolution, a joint resolution requesting Congress to call a convention for the purpose of proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to require that every law enacted by Congress shall embrace only one subject, which shall be clearly expressed in its title.
House Joint Resolution 3, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the resolution be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 2, House Bill 3, House Bill 9, House Bill 14, House Bill 64, and House Bill 83.
Are there any members who would like to remove one of the bills from the consent list? Chairman Greer.
Mr. Speaker, I request that House Bill 64 be removed from the consent list.
Without objection, House Bill 64 is removed from the consent list and moved to the regular list. Are there any other members? At this time, I'd ask the reading clerk to read all the bills through the enacting clause.
House Bill 2, introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, Storage Tanks, an act relating to storage tanks. Be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 3, introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, Cease and Transfer Priority List, an act relating to prioritization of municipal solid waste facilities, cease and transfer projects. Be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 9, introduced by Education, Student Ownership and Privacy Rights, an act relating to public education. Be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 14, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Insurance Code Amendments, an act relating to insurance. Be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 83, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services, Healthcare Facility Licensing, Bed Count Limit Exemption, an act relating to healthcare licensing and operations. Be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call on consent. Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen. Excused. Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Ayer,
Flitner,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Furphy,
aye.
Garou,
aye.
Gray,
here, I mean,
Greer,
aye.
Haley,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Henderson,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lone, Laux,
aye.
McGuire,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Obermuller,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Excused, Pieperinen,
aye.
Ponnell,
aye.
Salazar,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Sweeney, Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
58 aye, 2 excused. As for House Bill 2, are there any changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As per House Bill 3, are there any changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As per House Bill 9, are there any changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As per House Bill 14, are there any changes? Halverson, aye to no. Lone, aye to no. Are there other changes? Blackburn? Okay. Closing vote. Vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused. As per House Bill 83, Are there any changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 2, 3, 9, 14, and 83 have passed the House. We're on that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 51. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 51, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Borrowing authority for Department of Transportation. An act relating to pooled fund investment loans. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 51 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, on Committee of the Whole, we had a discussion. If you'll look on page 2 of this bill, which has to do with the borrowing authority for the Department of Transportation. On page 2, lines 6 and 7, there is a provision that interest on the unpaid balance would be the interest rate earned on the pool fund investments. Unfortunately, on some occasions, the pooled fund investments are losing money. So, of course, that wouldn't provide an interest rate. So the amendment just inserts after the word B on line 6, equal to the greater of 2% or. Having said they're a fairly low and I think reasonable interest rate, of course if it's higher, that will be great, but I think that just makes sure that we aren't actually paying the department for them borrowing our money. I'll take any questions.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I do think it's a great idea, but maybe if we could have some more information on the 2%. I would think if we're going to do this, we could tie it to maybe another fund or tie it to an index or an indicator. I was just wondering why the 2% as opposed to any other number. Thanks.
Any other members for their first time? Chairman Eklund.
Yeah, the Transportation Committee would consider this a friendly amendment and a good catch by our new member of Appropriations. I didn't know we were into negative earnings on any of these savings. It will incentivize the agency that overlooks these funds to manage that money wisely. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Second time before the sponsor. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As to the question of the 2%, there are a number of other interfund loan programs that we have, and so we just sort of selected that one. Obviously, if people want to make a change at a later point in the whole process, that would be acceptable, but that was something that we do charge on some other interfund loans.
Okay, the question is on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 51. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 51 has been adopted. House Bill 51, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
House Bill 51. Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman. Aye. Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen excused. Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey excused. Pieperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zawanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Blackburn? Aye to no. Are there other changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 48 aye, 10 no, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House.
Check the bill jacket real quick, but I don't believe so.
House Bill 51 has passed the House. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pursuant to House Rule 7-3, I would move to move back for one day House Bill 64.
Without objection, House Bill 64 is moved back one day. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
We do have a member that has a birthday today, but I just wanted to ask the group if there are any other birthdays this week, we could get it all done at one time. Any other birthdays this week on the floor here? All right, we have Representative Crank. What day is your birthday, Representative Crank? Yesterday. Well, please stand up. Please stand up. And Representative McKim, today is his birthday. And
so, yes. So, we have our leaders of the 64th Legislative Choir, Representative Winters. Everybody,
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ron. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your general file for today is House Bill 45, 59, 50, 18, 31, 8, 13, 30, 33, and 36. And if you didn't catch that, there should be a blue sheet in your inbox. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Representative Winters.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. This is getting awkward. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. Whew. Well, it's an honor to be in the chair today, and just to let you know, the trying to raise revenue in the past is not something that we're just facing today. In 1890, the editor of the Rawlins newspaper, his solution was this. He said that all unmarried men should be taxed $2.50. That is a strange one. Yeah. How's that? The first reading of the bill for our consideration is House Bill number 45. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 45, introduced by Appropriations, Judicial Branch Budget Processes, an act relating to courts. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 45, Judicial Branch Budget Processes, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee of the whole rises and report, it does so with the recommendation of do pass for House Bill 48, and I turn the explanation over to the good representative from House District 38.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What this bill does is really quite simple. This puts into statute practice that's been going on for the last 3 or 4 years, and a little history on it is prior to 4 or 5 years ago, the circuit courts would submit all their budgets to the legislature. But they did so in a unique fashion for each of their own circuits, and so then it was very hard to interpret and very hard to understand and read. And so 3 or 4 years ago, they finally got them to start, and at that time, then our LSO staff would have to put those into a format that fit our accounting systems and then put them on out on the floor. And so 3 or 4 years ago, they got together with them to start submitting their budgets in a fashion that is similar to what the highest court in our state does, and with that, they come to us a lot simpler, and our LSO staff doesn't have to do the work. We just have to approve them and review them. And so, like I said, it's just putting into statute what's a current practice, so I'd encourage your support.
All right. Seeing a question being called, all those in favor of Representative Nicholas's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 45 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed say no. House Bill number 45 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 59. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 59, introduced by Appropriations, Higher Education Fiscal Procedure Amendments, an act relating to education. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 59, Higher Education Fiscal Procedure Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Nicholas?
Thank you. I move that when the committee rises and report, it does so with a recommendation of due pass. And to, for an explanation of the bill, I turn it over to the good representative from the District of 54. And it's nice to be back in the corner. I used to sit back here, and this is a nice mic. I like this mic.
Thank you very much there, Mr. Chairman. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a little history for new members of the committee. We have instituted at the University of Wyoming and other facilities an opportunity to set up matching fund programs where a donor will donate to a particular program, might be athletics, might be academics, and then the state, we have set up funds that the state will match their donation. And we've really been able to accomplish some pretty amazing things around the state at the university, and both academically and with the athletic endeavors that we've, the infrastructure that we've provided. House Bill 59 on the Higher Education Fiscal Procedure Amendments affects four of those endowment funds. It's the Endowment Challenge Fund, the Athletics Challenge Matching Program, the Endowment Challenge Fund Matching Program, and the Academic Facilities Challenge Matching Programs. And Article 21 is the part of the statutes directing the budget procedures for community colleges. And so what, excuse me, I need to back up just a second. So what this bill does is it says that none of these matching funds that the state has will be released to these endowment funds until the donor has made the funds available. So it can't be promised or otherwise. They actually have to have the money in hand before the state will release funds to match it. Then on the last page of this bill, there is a requirement in 2118-203, and 21 is the part of the statutes directing the budget procedures for community colleges, and in this part of the statutes, it requires them to comply with 93210C, which is the requirement for all state agencies, including community colleges, when preparing their biennium budget to include estimates for the state's participating share to the employee's health insurance plan. And they were doing that on a biennial basis, on projected number of employees, and to increase the accuracy of those projections, because the state was just paying that amount based on some projections, they're requiring this change will require the community colleges to come back with a supplemental projection to be addressed during the supplemental budget. So, Mr. Chairman, with that explanation, I'd address any questions.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Klim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate the explanation of the bill by the good representative. I like this bill. The only question that I have is, it really pertains to page 6, what we just talked about, the budget procedure there, starting on line 11, the new language for the community colleges, and I'm just wondering how this matches up. I believe it was last year we put into place for community colleges more of a steady funding formula, and now I hear this stuff about, well, now they have to come back with an exception budget and all this, and I'm just wondering how that all ties together. If we could clarify that a little bit, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the question. And really what this accomplishes from the understanding we got in the committee is it makes a more accurate accounting from the community colleges, because this is not funds that they pay. This is the state share of those funds that they pay. And some of those projections are made on estimates. And during the interim, through that biennium, during that interim part, employees leave, employees are hired. And so to get a more accurate headcount of those employees that the state, to cover the state's portion of the health insurance plan, they're asking them to come back during the supplemental portion to where we just really have a more accurate headcount, therefore not spending more money of state funds than perhaps we need to.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To go back to the question, last year that funding model that we worked on dealt with enrollment costs, which were variable costs. And so we went back 2008, I believe, and started funding this variable cost component associated with increases and decreases, typically increases in enrollment. And that's what that funding model dealt with. The issue on the insurance and the benefits of the employees of the community colleges was a separate funding item, which had been an issue of debate from year to year within the appropriate committee. So that was that distinction.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I guess I'd just like to follow up on that, the distinctness. When you look back at the Title IX that's referenced in this new subsection, does that not same thing apply to all of those other agencies, state agencies, the four-year institution we have over the hill as well? Would they not be also be subject to the same issue? And if so, are these actually funded in enough of a different way that this is only particular to this subsection of that list? Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, I
Representative, thank
Representative you. And as I read the Title IX information, I read it the same way that you did, but the requirement this bill is addressing solely for community colleges and not for any of the other agencies that are listed in Title IX. So I couldn't really answer to the requirements for the University Over the Hill or from the other agencies.
Chair recognizes Representative Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to try to answer this question generally, remembering I only had 2 years on that committee that oversaw this. However, the funding of these components within the community colleges was something that was new to the state, which was done during good times. And if you'll go back and look in your budgets, what we found, what we will find are budget footnotes that held the number of additional employees that came into our community colleges. And so it was one of those things where the state was being generous and opened it up and then all of a sudden realized, you know, wait a minute, maybe we need to put some sideboards on this, which was being done with that budget footnote. And so this I think is getting back to more accountability on that really distinct funding source that was separate to the other agencies and the institution, four-year institution over the hill.
Representative Larson, would you like to speak more? All right. Do we have any further discussion? Any further discussion on the bill? You ready for the question? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Nicholas's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 59 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
House Bill 59 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 50. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 50, introduced by Representative Larson. Limitations on delegates, Constitution Amendment Conventions, an act relating to a convention for proposing amendments to the United States Constitution. Mr. Chairman, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 50, Limitations on Delegates, Constitution Amendment conventions, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Bightman, Kirkbride, Olson, Pawnell, Winters. Noes, Representatives Baker, Jennings, Pelkey, Salazar. Signed, Representative Winters, Vice Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Kirkbride?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 50 do pass, and I turn the explanation over to our good colleague from House District 25.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I bring this bill, the main reason is put limits on the delegates who are attending an Article 5 convention of the state, and also it provides penalties for violation of oath, and also in the remaining part of the bill it clarifies that state convention refers to a state ratifying convention. I'll go through the bill hopefully quick here. On page 3, line 10, we start with limitations of authority for delegates to the Article 5 convention. Line 13, no delegate shall have authority to vote to allow consideration of or to approve an unauthorized amendment for ratification to the United States Constitution. So what we send them to debate is the only thing they can talk about. Line 17, any delegate shall be directed to vote for procedures and rules mandating that the convention remain a convention of states where each state is represented by one vote. Line 22, any vote made in violation of the subsection A or B of this section shall be null and void, and the delegate making the vote will be immediately recalled and replaced. I think the most important part of the bill is the oath that a delegate or alternate would have to take. And I'm going to read you the oath. I do solemnly swear and affirm that to the best of my abilities, I will, as a delegate or alternate to an Article 5 convention, uphold the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America. I will not vote to allow consideration of or to approve any unauthorized amendment proposed for ratification to the United States Constitution. I understand and I accept any penalties that the Wyoming law may impose on me for violating this oath. On line 17, it says any delegate that violates the oath shall be guilty of a felony, which is very important, punishable by imprisonment for not more than 5 years, and a fine of not more than $10,000. Next page on 5, line 4, it says the Secretary of State shall be the one that certifies the selection of delegates in writing to the Article 5 convention, so they know who should be there. On the next section in line 11, this describes how the delegates will be selected. We 2 years ago, this we passed this out of our body, and it went to the other side and came back, and we had to have a little conference on that item. And that was the big sticking point is for the reason why we didn't get it out 2 years ago. But in this bill, three members will be selected by the Senate, and then three members will be selected by the House. And if a delegate becomes ineligible, the President of the Senate or the Speaker will select the alternate. On the next page, 6, line J, it states that the Wyoming Attorney General shall enforce the provisions of this section, and a Wyoming citizen may also file an action to enforce the requirements and that and be entitled to reasonable attorney fees if he is successful. The remainder of the bill just clarifies that a state convention in the statutes that we already have, that a state convention refers to a state ratifying convention. This statute would be referred to if Congress declared that an amendment proposal would be ratified by state conventions rather than by state legislators. With that, I encourage the support of the bill, and I will yield the floor for discussion.
Thank you. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could just have it clarified, because I didn't quite hear, if the convention does start discussing other topics and our delegate comes home, then does the Constitutional Convention go on without us?
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, thanks for the question. I want to clarify this is a convention of states. We'd have to have a majority at the convention, and that would be decided through the rules when the convention convenes. So when it first begins at the convention, they'll come up with their rules at that time.
Yes, sir. Representative, Northrop.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad to be appreciated and acknowledged there.
Yes,
thank you
very much.
I'm looking for my notes. First one is on page 4, line 10. It says, "In essence, I do swear to affirm to the Constitution of the United of the law of the United States." When we're done, what Constitution are we talking about? And that's my first question. My second question is over on page 7. Line 16 says, calling for the state to ratify the convention. Who are these delegates that are going to be ratifying this? Who attends, in other words? Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Northrop. Representative Klim.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate that. And in answer to that question, the Constitution, again, want to affirm, this isn't a constitutional convention. This is a convention of states. What we passed yesterday when we talked about an Article 5 for a limited convention of states to propose amendments for a limited subject, whatever that is. Now, we talked about yesterday with the balanced budget amendment, there's 28 states who have currently passed that proposal. There's 11 states that are being targeted around the U.S. And whether or not our body or the legislature as a whole passes that bill, there's a good chance that we could reach that magic number of 34. And a convention of states could be called. In the event that that happens, what this bill does is it puts limitations on delegates. And for instance, if there was, I think one of the questions was if there was a, if they started to segue and not talk about a balanced budget amendment, but they started talking about term limits, for instance. Well, in that case, our delegation that would be there would not be able to engage in that. And I can tell you, in all practicality, there would be a point of order raised. When we had that mock convention, if there was something that was out of order, someone would raise their bony finger up in the air and shout, "Point of order!"
It's pretty straightforward.
And it would be stopped. Now, if it didn't, we wouldn't engage in that activity. Furthermore, when it talks about, there was the question, which constitution? It's still the Constitution. Even if we propose an amendment, there is that ratification process. And again, we as a body or citizens don't get to choose the method of ratification. Congress does. And so if a proposed amendment is put forward, then Congress gets to choose the route of ratification. And there's two methods of ratification. It's by states, and I forget the other method. Rarely used. I think it was used one time for an amendment. But the most common use of the ratification, Congress then puts it out to the states and says, three-quarters of the states, I believe, or 38 states, has to ratify that in order for to become part of the Constitution. So they're still upholding the Constitution the whole way through. It's just a proposed amendment. It doesn't become part of the Constitution just like that. So I hope that answers some of those questions there.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask a couple of questions relative to page 6, subsection J. The reference to the Wyoming Attorney General shall enforce the provisions of this section, a Wyoming citizen. What are we defining as a Wyoming citizen? Is that a property owner, a voter, somebody who just came in here and decided to run for election? That definition is quite broad for me. I think it needs some tightening up. May also file an action to enforce the requirements of this chapter, shall be entitled to reasonable attorney fees. Boy, does that open a can of worms that just bothers me that anybody can come up and file suit if they don't like anything that happened. I'd like some clarification on that section, please.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question relates to page 5 of the bill where there's a procedure assigned for assigning delegates to the convention, and I just, my question slash comment on this is, how on earth do we have the authority to do that? It's very clear that the Congress is going to set the rules for this convention, and we're doing that in this bill, and I don't think we should delude ourselves to the belief that we actually have this power, because that's not the way it's going to work. And so that's my question slash comment. Thank you.
Representative Klim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In answer to that question, the Constitution is very clear that if a convention of states is called, then Congress shall, they shall put forward the convention to propose amendments. Or, in other words, they don't get to write the rules. They don't get to choose the delegates. What they get to do is they shall, and it's not a may, they shall hold the convention. So they'll get to assign a time and place. But as far as the rest of it, the states are in control. That's Congress's only obligation as far as the Constitution is concerned. And I can tell you just in practice, is Congress going to come in and choose our delegates? That'd clearly be unconstitutional, and we would fight that. Their only obligation is they shall call a convention of states. That's it. They can propose a time and a place. And as far as the rules and the procedure and everything forward after that, that is up to the states and the delegates that are chosen by the states when the convention is called. And again, I would just point out, whether you're for or against a convention of states, you might be totally against that. But again, we're 28 states with a proposal already. 11 states are being targeted. And if after, in a few short months, if there is a convention of states proposed, what this bill does is it puts a limitation on those delegates. Without this bill, you could have some chaotic things happening. And what I like about this is if a delegate goes against the authority that's given to them, they're faced with a felony and a $10,000 fine or both. And so this is good. This puts some teeth as far as choosing delegates. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My first question has to do with how many other states are implementing rules like this in their states. I know what the Constitution says about the Congress having to call a convention, but if anyone in this body or in any one of the other 28 states thinks that Congress is not going to take unto itself the writing of the rules, the counting of the votes, the determining of what shall and shall not be permissible, I have not studied this whole Article 5 subject totally. The fact is, Congress shall make the call. There are no prohibitions as to what else Congress may do. Thank you. Vote no.
We'll do Representative Gray, then Representative Lindholm. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to pose a question to my good friend from House District 31. What would you propose? Let's say that the Congress, just for the sake of conversation, does set the rules for the convention. We have a president who is leaving office here very soon, who has really undermined the rule of law again and again daily, and really damaged the faith of our people and our rule of law. So, and a Congress that's allowed it, really. And what do you propose we do if they do set the rules?
Mr. Chairman?
The chair recognizes the speaker.
Mr. Chairman, point of order, inappropriate comments.
The point of order is correct.
I would say that we are not to speak of the chief executive directly, but you can reference the federal chief executive. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have an executive branch that is out of control. And so I would just, and a Congress that has allowed it. So I would pose to my friend from District 31, what do you propose we do if the Congress does decide to set the rules for this convention? Because there's no procedure laid out in this
point
bill.
Of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, the chair recognizes.
According to the rules of debate, we don't pose questions to other members of the body. We go through the chair and pose questions to the chairman, and then other members of the body can answer that. But we don't ever specifically call out members of other districts for questions to them in our rules of debate.
Point of order stands. Please remember that in the course of debate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to pose a question to the body of what we are to do as a state if the Congress does not follow the Constitution and does decide to set the rules, which I think is a very reasonable reasonable assumption that's a possibility.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So one of the questions was asked was Congress is going to go off the beaten path and do what they're not supposed to do, even though the Constitution says something differently. And all of history of the United States says differently. So it was posed by another member to the chair that maybe we should study this issue further. Well, perhaps other members aren't aware of that multiples of conventions that the states have gone to for water, for multiple compacts that happen between states. And in one of those situations, Congress had nothing to do with it. They're given the right to call the location, the place where it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. But the Constitution is very clear in Article 5. So the boogeyman is not going to come out in this one. Article 5 is clear. Thank you.
Representative Edwards. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Snuck up on me.
In the questioning on here or the talking of the delegates, when you referred that they would only have one subject that they would be able to and allowed to vote upon, that which was approved by this body. There are going to be 50 other states there. We will not be the only ones making the decision on which amendments will be heard. With what this does, it will be the same thing that happened in the Articles of Confederation. When the Articles of Confederation were brought up, they were only supposed to go and amend the Articles of Confederation. There were two of the states that recalled their delegates. They left because when it got above and beyond amending the Articles of Confederation, they had stepped out of the line, which they were directed to do. They went home. Those states no longer had a representative representing them. They could not say no. They could not say yes to anything else that happened in that convention. They were done. They went home. I see no cure for that in this legislation. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want you to imagine, just for a moment, body, if there was a convention of states. Think of the media. This would be a historic event. There would be nothing like this since the dawn of our country. Media would be putting a spotlight on there, and everybody, and the question would be posed over and over and over again on news media, on TV, or in print or otherwise. They would be looking for a runaway convention. What would happen if they started to do some things that they weren't supposed to do? So I want to address really two questions. There was a question posed about the rules. You know, if Congress were to write the rules. Well, I just want to ask you, the body, this. What if the body down the hall or the executive of our state decided to write the rules for this house? What would this house do? We would reject those rules, wouldn't we? We would say we're going to abide by our own rules, and that's exactly what a convention would do. A convention gets to adopt its own rules. And again, just from experience with this mock convention, that's what we did. We were called. No one was telling us what to do. We elected our own president. We adopted our own rules, and off we went. And no one else was telling us what to do. So convention could do that. And the second thing is, if you have 34 states calling for a particular subject matter, a particular application, in this case a balanced budget amendment, and you were to call 34 of those states and someone from a different state started proposing a different amendment, again, a point of order would be called. And it would stop the conversation. And 34 states, you think 34 states who at this point have abided by the law, there many applications have been submitted, but you have to have that magic number of 34 for a particular application in order to call a convention of the states. And I guarantee you that would be shot down because the majority of the 34 states who called the convention wouldn't put up with it. Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Let me just tackle a couple of statements that have been made. I just want to provide some clarity there. There was someone that had mentioned possibly that what we would be doing is duplicating the work that was done in 1787. In which one would claim, it sounds like the claim is, that it completely overturned the Articles of Confederation and that it was done without the legitimacy that it was supposed to have. That actually is not right. seven state legislators agreed to send delegates to the Constitutional Convention prior to the time that Congress acted to endorse it. You see, the Continental Congress, under the Articles of Confederation, did not call for this convention. It was the respective state legislatures. And the reason for that is because they believe, as I believe many of you believe, in state sovereignty, that was a very important thing. And so the states told their delegates that the purpose of the convention was the one stated at the town is the place where our premier academy that teaches officers of the Navy. At that convention, that was held before, and here was the commission, that they were to render the Constitution of the federal government adequate for the exigencies of the Union. And when you look at that particular call, those people took it very serious. They didn't step outside the boundaries of the call that their respective state legislatures had given them. And so what one has to understand is that what we're talking about today is not what some would derisively call a con-con or a constitutional convention. It is a convention that is outlined within Article 5 of the Constitution of this country, which is called a convention for proposing amendments. Is a convention for proposing amendments in exactly the same way that our federal legislature can propose amendments right now. And so just to make sure everybody understands and has read this particular article, the Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution or on application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which in either case shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of this Constitution. When ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states or by conventions in three-fourths thereof, or as one of the other mode of ratification may be proposed by the Congress, provided that no amendment which may be made prior to year 1808 shall be in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses of the ninth section of the first article, that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. Just to make sure that that you guys have actually heard this, I also want to address one more thing. Congress cannot set the rules for this convention. It has the duty, according to Article 5, of basically proposing the time and place of the meeting. That then stands as a convention for proposing amendments. And if you are familiar with Masons, or if you're familiar with legislative rule book that we use, and also the one that is commonly used for holding meetings with a parliamentary setting, both of those books, the convention sets their own rules. It is not set by outside bodies. And so understanding the basics of parliamentary procedure on that would help with that particular question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. My comment is actually going to be within the context of the bill. The context of the bill is, we'll start with page 2, the definition of delegate or alternate. What this bill is proposing is only that legislators would be eligible to be named as delegates. I think that limits us significantly in finding the best and brightest minds. Not that there aren't those minds in this room, but let's be conscious of that limitation in this bill, because that bill is here. As you think about that, think about someone who is qualified as a delegate, and in this bill, as is a legislator, and you go and there is a vote and someone decides to call that into question. Where is the due process for that person? Because you are now, if you are, whatever the process is, you are a felon, and as a felon, you have no right to hold office in the state of Wyoming. So therefore, you're not just losing your seat as a delegate, you are losing your ability to serve as a legislator in the state of Wyoming. So while I am not afraid of the constitute amending convention process or what our U.S. Constitution provides, I think that some of the content of this bill needs to be thought about clearly so that we understand who is available to do this. And I think we need the full range of our citizenry personally. And two, if it is a legislator, subjecting them to a felony which would be in their best intent would be mean they would no longer be eligible to serve in the body which they are currently serving now. Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So a couple responses here to the question of what is laid out in this bill and why, what on earth is going to happen if the Congress doesn't adhere to the selection procedure for delegates that we lay out. And the responses seem to have fit into two boxes. One is that that's going to be a runaway convention and there's going to be a point of order called. That's not the definition of a runaway convention. The runaway convention is while you're in session, it has to do with the content of the convention itself. So that's a different argument. And I think we can go down that path, but that's not really a response to what has been talked about here. And the second response seems to be that, well, it's not going to happen, and the Congress isn't going to set the rules for selection of delegates. And I just think really urge the body to think about what is within the realm of possibility for what we've seen from the Congress. And I think we've seen way more actions outside of the scope of that one. And so I think our history would show that this is certainly something that could happen, that the Congress could decide the membership rules for the convention and the rules for the convention. The other thing I would note is that I think it's very interesting that we don't put into the call for the convention the procedure for the selection of delegates. And I'm concerned that that's part of the design of these states that have signed on to it, and I think it's almost a tacit acknowledgement that the Congress has the ability to set the rules for the convention. Why don't we set this out in the call? Why would we put this in a separate bill? Because the Congress is going to come back to us when we have six individuals on a plane going to wherever to this convention, and the Congress has their own procedure that they've set, and they're not going to recognize those people. They're going to say, well, you did this in a separate bill. It's not even in the call for the convention. And the reason it's not in the call for the convention is because it's not in the template that all these states have passed. And that's what the Congress is going to say and how they're going to justify, if they do that, how they're going to justify setting the rules for the convention, because it's not clear in the call. So that means the Congress can fill it in. Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Just to answer back a little bit here, the reason why this is a separate bill, there's two reasons. One, they're also contained in many of the bills that are being passed that address Article 5. But secondly, this particular bill is to make it abundantly clear, in addition to the other individual Article 5 bills, that these individuals are subject to the statutes of this state. And under the statutes of this state, these individuals could be prosecuted if they step outside the boundaries of their very specific duties. And so the reason why there is a separate bill is to make it abundantly clear that they cannot do that. They would be prosecuted by this state for stepping outside of those bounds.
Any further discussion? Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Kirkbright's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 50 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. The bill passes. House Bill 50 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 18. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 18, introduced by Judiciary, Child Abuse or Neglect in Military Families, an act relating to child protection. Mr. Chairman, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 18, Child Abuse or Neglect in Military Families, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Baker, Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbright, Olson, Pelkey, Ponnell, Salazar, Winters, signed Representative Kirkbright, Chairman.
Chairman Kirkbright.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 18 do pass, and I turn over the explanation of the bill to our good colleague from House District 28.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill was presented to us by the military department of our state and the department that assists with serving families, who asked us to help the federal military department track these issues with military families who move from station to station. Currently, there is no statute in law that allows our department that helps with serving families to report these issues to the military. And so there has been an effort across the country to work with those states that have bases within the boundaries of their state. And eight states are already in just the last 24 months or so have adopted this particular bill. Currently, we're operating only with a memorandum of understanding with the missile wing that is stationed here locally. And what this bill will do is allow for a clear central point of contact with the Judge Advocate General of the Department of Defense here. So the meat of the bill is found on page number 2, lines number 5 through 10, which reads to make reasonable efforts to determine if the person responsible for the welfare of a child in a suspected case of child abuse or neglect is a member of the armed forces, or if the child is enrolled in the Defense Enrollment Eligibility Reporting System of the United States Department of Defense. On page number 3, lines number 11 through 16, this is what allows our department that assists with serving families to actually ask the question of the military department. And then on page number 4, lines number 5 through 14, the addition of language in that particular clause allows for one central place of reporting, and it lowers the burden for law enforcement or the department that assists with serving families, to so that they actually have one place where they can report these issues. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would address any questions.
Is there any discussion of the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Kirkbright's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 18 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 18 has passed Committee of the Whole.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 31. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 31, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, State Parks Accounts, an act relating to state parks and cultural resources. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 31, State Parks Accounts, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do not pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Walters, Wilson. Noes, Representatives Swartz and Summers. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 31 do pass. What I am slightly unclear on, because I have a hard time hearing, is we do have an amendment from one of the members of the committee. Do I move that now? How does that process work?
Yes, you've heard the motion on the standing.
Okay, sorry. So then I also further move the amendment. And for the explanation of the bill is Representative, the one from over where the river is green. I move standing committee amendment number 1.
We are on standing committee amendment number 1. And Chairman Allen, would you like to have the bill and the amendment addressed simultaneously? Representative Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I erred. It is a committee of the whole amendment. So, and I move it.
Standing.
The bringer of the amendment will move it. Did I say that?
Chairman Allen, apparently there is a House Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. Would you like to move House Standing Committee Amendment Number 1?
Mr. Chairman, yes, and I'm getting all kinds of advice here. There it is. Okay. Move the amendment.
Very good. And to address the amendment, Mr. Chairman, would you like Representative Freeman to do that?
Do you do it, or does he do it? Yes, Representative from the green, the river that's green. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative, Mr. Chairman. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that we should dispense with the standing amendment number 1. It is primarily a conforming amendment to where that one section of the bill conforms to the other two, so I would call for the question on the amendment.
Do we have any further discussion? You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Question having been called, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. The standing committee amendment number one has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In your box, you'll have two handouts to kind of give you some background information to make your decision. What I would do is look at the first one, who has lots of pictures and graphs and percentages and that kind of stuff. And what this is it's the first two pages of the state's parks report or yearly report. If you look at the top of the of what I would call the first page, you'll see that state parks impact the economy of Wyoming $473 million. Along the left-hand side of the sheet, it shows you all the different facts that they have, the number of water systems, yurts, campsites, and those kind of things. To the right, at the bottom of the page, it shows you the different trends. And if you look at all those trends, they're up. I've been on this committee for 4 years, and this is very similar to every report that I've seen. This agency has suffered the effects of all the budget cuts that we've had over the years, and they have responded. If you go on to the flip side of the page, and I'll let you look at all the other stuff, is that they have volunteers that have put in 30,000 hours. And if you look at the back, they've also gone to the to apply for grants and have almost $2 million that they've added to their budget. I'll go to the bill right now, and if you go to the second page, lines eight and nine, basically what this bill will do is that the interest on the funds that they deposit their money from various ways that they earn money will now go to that fund instead of going to the general fund. For example, on 8 and 9, interest on the funds in the snowmobile trails account shall accrue to the account. What happens is right now, if you own a snow machine, you put a stamp on that and you pay for that. And then what happens is that money goes into an account and it is used for snow machine trails. And in addition to that, and I'm not real clear on this, but I'm pretty sure I'm right, is we also get money from the gas tax. Before I left to come down here, I had to get gasoline, and there was three pickup trucks with trailers that were filling up their snow machines. Since that money, or since those machines are going to use gasoline that's not on the roads, we have provisions to where that the use of that gasoline goes to snow machines. To add just a little thing that I remember from testimony in the machine or in the committees is Wyoming, for most of the last 5 years, has been one of the top three and most often the top place for out-of-state snow machines. And the reason why we are that is we have beautiful scenery, but we also have a state program that goes out and grooms the trails so that people can go and see our state. The same is true with over all-terrain vehicles. We also have trails that are groomed for that. And we also have an account for motorboats for our state parks. So what this bill does, and you can look on the financial sheet on the back, is up till now, that money, so when you buy a snow machine tag or of off-road tag, that money goes into an account, and that money can only be used for those purposes. But the interest that money accrues now goes into the general fund. What the agency would like to do is to have that money to come into their accounts or remain in their accounts so that they can continue to match the growth that's happening. The last thing that I would like to do is remind you that tourism is Wyoming's second leading industry. We currently have a task force to increase more outdoor recreation, which will cause even more pressure on this state agency. And with that, I would suggest that we try the standing committee amendment or comments. Or
all right.
Questions?
Thank you for the description of that bill. We are now on Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Point of order. Okay. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. I did have a question on the bill. Did you want questions there before the standing committee amendment?
Yes. Why don't you go ahead and pose that question, Representative?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And the rust all came back here on this one. I'm sorry, but I would like to have this question answered before we go to the Committee of the Whole Amendment. And part of that is when this bill was read in, it had a recommended do not pass from Committee Number 2. And so I'm looking at, you know, I see what we're doing is we're taking sort of a de facto appropriation here from out of the general funds into these accounts. I'm kind of a firm believer that this body ought to appropriate all funds. But my question was to any of the members of that committee, too, if they could explain their no vote, which is often a rare vote.
Chair recognizes Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The no vote out of the Appropriations Committee on this bill was due to the appropriation. State agencies generally don't get to keep their earnings out of the pooled fund. They go to the general fund. So this would set this agency apart as having the ability to keep their own interest, which no other agency does. Thus, the Appropriation Committee voted a do not pass on this bill.
Thank you. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, I would like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 31. And I, too, voted against this bill in committee for the same reasons that the Appropriations Committee recommended a do not pass. So I'm against the bill for the amendment in case it would pass out of this body. And all we're doing is saying if we would choose to give them their interest back, we're going to put a sunset date on there to look at that. It will sunset at June of 2020. And we're also requiring them to use those funds on the accounts which they're accrued from. So no on the bill for the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill Number 31. Do we have further discussion? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just do a kind of a pushback on that. I think that we should allow our state agencies to determine what the best way to spend that money is within the rules of the committee. And I think that a sunset limitation in this instant would be inappropriate. What you have is you have probably thousands of people that are buying these tickets. They are buying a service, and I think that they want the state to follow up on their promise.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would perhaps have a different point of view on that. I think that this body does exactly that. We look at each agency and we determine the funds available to them, and we determine to some degree how they spend them. They have the flexibility and the ability to spend those funds as we appropriate them with some guidelines. That's why we have them come to us and make their case. And so I think I support the amendment, and I think that to have a sunset clause on there and come back and look at that if the bill passes is a very appropriate thing for us to do to make sure that we feel as legislators that those funds are being used in the best manner for the state of Wyoming.
We're on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1. All right, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to divide the amendment. I would like to, division 1 would be lines 3 and 4, and division 2 would be lines 1, 2, and 5 through 39.
Let me just see if I have that right. So division 1 would be lines 3 and 4, and division 2 would be lines 1 and 2, and then 5 through 39.
That's correct.
The chair rules that is divisible.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support, I will speak on Division 1 first. I think a sunset date is inappropriate. This division, this agency, reports to committee number 2 regularly, and I think it's unfair for them to be facing a sunset date once they get rolling on using the interest accruing to these accounts. As for division number 2, I think that's fine. That's a perfectly reasonable request. But basically, I object to the sunset date, but support the specific use of the interest earned.
We are on committee of the whole amendment number 1, division 1. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I still believe that it is totally appropriate to have a sunset date. For those of us who are newer to the legislature, those things help remind us to look at those decisions we've made. And so I support Division 1.
Further discussion on Division number 1? A question being called on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, Division 1 to House Bill number 31. Please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
The chair being in doubt, all those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, Division number 1, please stand. Thirty-four votes, it passes. Thank you. We are now on division number 2 to Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 31. All right. Question being called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, Division number 2, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would encourage you to vote no on this bill. As we take this money and direct it straight to this agency away from the general fund, it takes the power away from all of us. And all of us and the 60 of us and the 30 members on the other end of the hall, those are the folks that are duly elected, and we are the ones that should have the power and do have the power to decide what these agencies do. And the more money we send their direction, the more of that we do, the more we have taken power away from ourselves and given it to a bureaucracy. So I would encourage you to vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have thousands of people from both in the state of Wyoming and outside of the state of Wyoming that have shown their trust in this agency, and they have purchased these stickers with the understanding that they're going to get the best possible service that they can. Those budgets are reviewed by the legislature, and I think that we have plenty of control over this agency.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against this bill, I just think that we're going to set a dangerous precedent if we allow this bill to pass. I think this is a very serious situation that may not look very serious to a lot of us right now, but what we're going to do is we're going to open this little box, and it opens Pandora's box for all other agencies that are accruing interest in any other accounts that are out there to start funding their purposes, and then they're not going to need or want to come back and work with general fund budgets. This is a very, very bad bill, and I encourage your no vote. Thank you.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I too rise in opposition to this bill, and I would say is that the people of Wyoming and all those people at Recreate put their faith and their trust in us every 2 years, and that faith and trust is for us to manage and regulate and control the agencies that we do oversee. I also remind the body we're in down times. That's why you see this, as agencies are looking for ways to continue their program. Every dollar you take from here, every dollar that you see there in the parentheses comes from another program. Comes from disabled people, children, elderly people, education. We just got to keep that in mind. We've got to watch our dollars. So I encourage a no vote.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in support of this bill. This is a good agency, a good bill, deserves our support. All these people coming in and expecting the well-maintained trails that they've been used to, increased trails, increased grooming, will only serve to bolster the state's economy and at a time that it's most desperately needed. I urge your aye vote on this bill.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think let's take a step back and let's consider where the original money is coming from. This isn't general dollars that are flowing to a program and then the interest is coming back. This is user fees, things that are paid by the people using it, purchasing fuel, purchasing permits, etc. Out there, it's their money we're talking about the agency gets to keep the interest off of, not our money that we're getting back to them. So let's keep that in mind. This is not was not originally general fund dollars that it's being interest is being gathered on. It is fees and charges that come to the users of either fuel or those off-road vehicles, whether they travel across the white stuff or the wet stuff. That's what we're talking about. Those dollars, not general fund dollars. And actually, if you wanted to make the case could be, as a user, as someone paying those fees, I would like my interest going to the agency that actually performs those duties. Thank you.
Representative Freeman.
Not to belabor the point, but isn't it the goal of this body to have agencies to be self-sufficient? So if we do give them the means to where that they can be self-sufficient, shouldn't we encourage that?
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the bill as amended. Again, one of the previous speakers is exactly right. We need to keep this money where people put the money to help this. You know, we're becoming a destination state for tourism. This will help that. So if we're not going to have revenue from other sources, this encourages this area and get more tourist dollars in here.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, with a little bit of pushback in terms of talking about the interest and how the agency is a good agency and needs interest, in all reality, there shouldn't be much money in that account, and therefore not there shouldn't be interest, because the agency should really be expending it. Right, that's the purpose of getting in those fees, is to actually do that maintenance. So it should come in and it should go out. They should not be stockpiling this money at all. And so it should be fairly irrelevant. The fact that it's relevant concerns me.
Do we have any further discussion? Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Allen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 31 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
The noes have it. Division being called. Since it failed the voice vote, we're going to do a standing vote. All right. All those in favor, please stand. Thank you. Please be seated. All those opposed, please stand. Having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Correct. House Bill 31. Allen.
No.
No. No. Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman. No. Blackburn.
No.
No. Blake.
Aye.
Bovey.
No.
No. Brown.
No.
No. Burkhart.
No.
No. Bird.
Aye.
Clausen excused. Clem. No. Connolly.
No.
Court.
No.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton. Aye. Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
No.
No. Flintner.
No.
No. Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
No.
No. Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
No.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
No. McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
No. Miller. Or McKim. I'm sorry. McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
No. Northrup.
No.
No. Obermuller.
No.
No. Olson.
No.
Paxton.
No.
No. Pelkey.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
No.
No. Ponell.
No.
No. Salazar.
No.
No. Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
No. Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
No. Wilson.
No.
No. Winters.
No.
No. Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker.
No.
No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 22 aye, 37 no, 1 excused.
Pursuant to House Resolution 10-5B, House Bill number 31, having failed a roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a reminder to the body, when we do a standing vote, please just stand at your chair or where you are. Don't crawl around. It makes it very difficult for staff to do the count, and they have to count several times. So if you just remember that, it'd be appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Committee of the Whole rise for the purpose of lunch and sit again at 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye. Any opposed say no. We are recessed.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to remind the Minority Caucus that we're having our caucus today in H-38. We have the director of the largest agency in the state coming in and giving us an update. We welcome everybody at the public meeting.
We have further committee announcements. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, a reminder on the Majority Caucus will be in L-51 upon adjournment.
Where's our, yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is David Northrup, and I'm with the Education Committee, just to introduce myself to you.
I can't remember his name today. Good job.
So Education will be meeting tonight upon adjournment in House 38. We're going to look at House Bill 76, 37, 77, and 93, and we're looking forward to your attendance. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman, with no name. We have further committee assignments or committee announcements. All right. We are at recess.